There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast.
On the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Oh, your blood. Can't get you out of my mind.
Man, we got Om Shinrikyo, and I say we. I say we.
Yeah, what did we do exactly to get Om Shinrikyo?
Nothing.
Okay, good. That's what I thought.
Technically, we helped their cause in many ways by broadcasting their name out more and more. But we got them. We got each one of their dirty little feet just dangling in the wind.
Oh, my goodness. All right. This is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. That is Henry Zebrowski. I don't know. I think they were probably very clean. I think they clean you before they kill you. There, that's what we're talking about in Japan. Om Shinrikyo, the final, I believe, what was it, the final six or the final seven? They were executed this past Thursday, so now it's official. Om Shinrikyo is dead.
I mean, I still believe that there are some holdouts. I believe that there are ones that are still kind of holding, like, because the website's still available and shit like
really?
That.
Really?
Like, they have they had some, because remember, they changed, it turns into Aleph, which is this, if you go to English.aleph.to, there's a bunch of shit on here as well.
Okay.
Which is still, like, kind of boiling it down to more of what was the core central belief systems and their kind of their reading stuff. So there's somebody running this website. It's not a good website.
No. Well, of course, Om Shinrikyo meant the supreme truth. What does the new term mean?
I don't know. Let me actually look this up. Aleph. All right. The Om related. Okay, here's what this is. So they kind of distance themselves from this.
That's for the best. Out of kind of the sarin attack.
I think so. Yes. Because it says here immediately in 2000, they have like a reaction to the Om related incidences.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Basically, they said they quit Om Shinrikyo and did their own shit. But if you want to get deeper into this stuff, you should definitely read aleph.to to see for yourself.
Yes.
But we got them. The last six members were. The last six members were executed on July 26th. Now, it seems like apparently in Japan, they like, get you.
What do you mean they get you? I mean, we get a lot of people here. I think we're, when it comes to criminal justice and being very hard on people, I think we're number one.
But we do a thing where we're like, we're going to get you. But on September 9th of 2021, and then you just have to sit, and then you file your appeals, and you do all the shit. Or in Japan, it's like they bring you your macaroni and cheese for the day or whatever, your Salisbury steak, I imagine.
Ooh, I don't think that either of those. I think both of those are far too nice for what people get on death row.
Wait, don't they get that? They get like
they get a
better
loaf.
Food.
No. You think so?
I don't fucking know.
It's I don't know.
Food in America, on death row.
In America, you get a loaf. And it's really sad, and it tastes horrible. No one knows what's in it. It's full of fingernails and hair and things like that. And that's what you just eat for the rest of your life. And there was, I forget the serial killer that we covered who got sentenced to death row. And in the U.S., because of our Constitution, you get mandatory appeals. And the guy was like, can we not? Can I just go already? I don't want to be in this. I don't want to be in this tube for 18 years. And they're like, "No, we will have justice work itself out. We will make sure you're guilty." And he's like, "I'm guilty. I guarantee you, I'm guilty."
But no, in Japan, what they do is they wait for you to just sit in there, and you're good and comfortable, and you're really getting good at your, I guess, ab workouts.
Oh,
you walk around inside of your cell. I mean, you got to. You got to stay cut. And then you just go like, "We're getting you today," and they grab you. And then they string you up. They don't even let you know.
Well, you know what? The sarin attack had killed 13 people. Let's not forget that. Injured 600 folks. So now officially the saga is ended. Japan can move on. And I think that for the folks, the victims of the sarin attack, I wonder if they breathe a sigh of relief today. I hope so, or this week.
Honestly, they just needed to go. These are very dangerous human beings. And Japan doesn't execute people very often. So these guys were made, it was kind of like made an example of.
Oh, yeah.
Where if you try to take over a world with your, like, your army of mountain wizards, Like, the only way to really punish them is to kill a bunch.
We were talking before the show, though. You know, it's, you know, we did the episodes, but 13, you would think, I mean, you know, you, there's easier ways to do it. They really did make it a very difficult experience for them. 13 people murdered, obviously, that's far too many. But with the sarin attack, they didn't have to be so extreme. They probably could have killed more people. I'm happy they didn't.
Well, a part of it is really that what did we learn from the episodes is that they muffed it up. They didn't do it right. They rushed it because they realized there was going to be a raid on one of their facilities, so they rushed it. And what does that teach you? Same thing with I've been learning from my, I have unfortunately with a personal trainer to try to get me an inch tighter for the wedding.
Right.
And this mother, it's about doing it slow.
Right.
And low. It's low and slow. Make the motions count. So you have to sit and think about it.
He is, he's training you the exact same way that that one dude cooked the turkey in that infomercial. Just slow and low. What's his name again?
Set it and forget it. I believe it's...
Popeil? Ropeil?
I think it's Propeil.
Propeil?
Set it and forget it, guy.
Love that.
Ron Popeil.
Oh, that one was great.
God, he's doing really good. He's Ron Popeil was did a little funny thing where he was trying to say something to... Or was this before? Is he dead? Maybe
no,
he's dead.
Not dead.
No, he's alive.
Thank
he's continuing
God.
Alive. He was doing a fun little Harvey Weinstein joke I'm seeing here. Oh, apparently in Texas, they no longer do the last meal thing.
Oh, what do you mean no more last meal?
No, now it's a set meal. What? And also on death row, you eat regular food.
Oh, I mean, I've heard it's a loaf. Unless they're feeding everyone loaves, and maybe they're doing that in Texas. But I feel like, you know, the last meal, It's a tradition. It's American tradition.
Yeah, like what Christmas used to be. And now look what's been done to it by the Democrats. Another thing taken from our hands. Last meal, you get to see all those fun photo galleries of the last meals of people in death row. Those are gone now. Can't say Merry Christmas anymore.
What a bummer.
What is this? But honestly, yeah, I guess it is good that we got them.
I guess so. I don't know if they were going to be doing any more damage there, hanging out in their jail cells, but nonetheless, a lesson learned. If you're going to plan a sarin attack, maybe you should think about what happens to you if you do.
Shoka Asahara needed to go. I do believe that he had some power and influence from inside jail, because until they kill it, because I don't know if we did it on this show, but we made the joke on stage about how like he had one last attempt.
Oh, yeah.
To prove he could levitate.
You know, in full disclosure, that's a Travis Morningstar bit.
Yeah, they gave him one last shot. They said, okay, do it.
And you know, when he's sitting in that cell, his thighs, they had to get real strong. Because the producer's like,
hit,
bumping up and down. He's like, get a picture. No one's taking a picture. What's the point of even doing this?
I wonder if they forbade him from doing the thigh exercises because they knew it only made it more dangerous.
No.
I think he'd go in there. I think about Japanese police and they go in there and whip him. With like a little reed. He has like a big long stick. I don't know what cops have because I don't think they have guns there. They have like whips. They have something else. They have like bows and arrow.
No, I think they just have guns and maybe, I don't know. I feel like they don't use the gun as much as the American cops. They're better with their hands. I think they're taught more actual physical self-defense and things like that.
Yeah, they use that. The Hebrew series of grips, Krav Maga.
Ooh, I would love to learn how to do that.
Yeah, well, you would be all grip.
How do I do that?
Okay, I will show you this. I can't show you this because it's like a one day with for the stream. So I was at After the Roast. I went to go see Roast Battle Shoot with Ed Larson and Jeff Ross. I went in back at Jeff Ross's house.
Was that Bruce Willis roast?
No. I didn't go to the important one. I went to the TV one, the normal one, the serious one.
And the one where the comedians who have no money tear each other down for very little money.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, yes, for cable credits. But I went and I got very, very stoned. And I got home and I got into this. Okay. It's a martial art known as Uechiria,
okay,
which is all about grips, right? And what they do is they walk around and they grab big pots with their hands and they lift them up. That's their main exercise. They lift these pots by gripping them with their hands, the lids of them, and they lift them up.
Isn't that just being a sous chef? What's the difference?
Yeah. But they start filling the pots with different levels of sand and rocks to make them heavier. And then they spend hours a day slapping their hands against boards to make their hands as grippable as possible. And they'll grip a man to submission at any point.
Well,
I feel like that's what these Japanese officers use. And they just grab Shoko Asahara by the feet. And then he can't do anything because they got him by the feet. And he's wriggling around like a snake. And then they try to, you know?
Is that like their version of like what we have at like Muscle Beach, where all the guys are working out, shaking their pecs, their butts, little balls for reasons of steroids abuse? No. Is that their equivalent of it?
No, that's not what I'm saying. No.
They don't do this in public.
No, this is just YouTube videos of a YouTube documentary of it where I went and saw it. And these guys are cut as fuck lifting these jars, man.
Really?
Yeah, man. Right. But they're not doing it on a beach. They need concentration. They can't have a bunch of girls shaking their breasts at them, hooting and hollering, getting them all hot and bothered while trying to grip these jugs. Those are not the jugs they need to be seeing.
I don't think that the ladies really like the guys on Muscle Beach. I think the ladies get freaked out by muscles. The guys do it for the guys.
Because then the guys
are like, look at that trap. Look at that weird muscle that I don't know how to pronounce. It's protruding. It's so strong. No one even wants to see it. It's not natural.
I think some women do.
I don't know.
Some men do. It's like, Natalie will come in and I'll be watching several hours of World's Strongest Man footage.
Well,
but that's not cut.
That's different. No, that's not
different.
Cut. That's like Magnus Vermagnuson, who is like, he will protect your home from Umshinrikyo or an army of Vikings.
Well, yeah, because you have to go against, because you could get Magnus Magnuson versus the remaining members of Umshinrikyo. I would pay to see that fight. That's at like, would you rather fight like, was it like a chicken, a horse-sized chicken?
Yeah.
Or a 20... chicken-sized horses. Isn't that a Reddit thing?
Something like that.
But yeah, you got Magazine just slapping these, grabbing them and smashing their heads together and shit.
It would be like when Thor met the Incredible Hulk in the most recent Thor movie. The Incredible Hulk is very strong, and he's destroying all the people in the arena. Remember that?
Why are they fighting? I thought they were friends.
They were fighting for the entertainment of the leader.
What?
Yes.
Wait, in which movie?
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
I don't watch any of these things.
Why don't you don't watch the superhero movies? You really should, because they're so fantastic.
No, man. I watch Ken Burns' Vietnam.
Every night?
Yes.
By the way, I think the appeal of the Muscle Beach is that you get to see a bunch of strong, dangerous men be in a playground together and forced to be friends.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
You see the tension.
Well, they are friends because they lather each other. Because at some point you get so muscular that then it's almost like you have to live like a 600-pound life individual, and you have to have people lather you in places you can no longer reach.
I'll put it this way. We have been very close friends for, 10 years?
Yeah, probably.
I can't imagine the amount of money that would need to be given to me in order for me to lather your back with like sunscreen. Like, I don't know what it would...
I'll give you $50.
Fine.
All right.
I was going to do it for 25.
Oh,
interesting.
You've been undercut.
Travis, you get to do it then. Congrats.
we got to talk about this one story because this is political. Yes. And you know, I like my little political nerd stuff. But this is also Mr. Zabrowski territory.
Yes.
There is a dude. Now, this is Denver Riggleman. He's a businessman, bit of a white supremacist. He is also a huge Sasquatch or Bigfoot enthusiast. And this has apparently become quite a significant issue on the campaign trail. He's running against this gal, Leslie Cockburn. She's the Democrat. And the thing is, this is a very Republican district. It's the 5th district in Virginia. They got a 6-point lead usually over the Democratic Party. So Republicans tend to win. The last dude who ran there and won by 58% of the vote. So it's possible. It's not the white supremacy that seems to be getting this guy in any trouble. This is right near the Charlottesville area.
Yes.
It's not the white supremacy, but it's his love of Bigfoot and the possibility that he also wrote erotica, which, Henry, you may have read.
I may have read it. I mean, he has a book coming out. So according to what they found was a post on his private Instagram, which he posted a picture of Bigfoot with a big censored block over what I assume to be is his cock. with this statement, cover art for hashtag mating habits of Bigfoot almost complete. I hide nothing in this magnificent tome. Don't erase the censor box. Now, it does. It is a funny bit, and they do want to say yes. It's erotica. He is saying, which is very interesting, that what he is saying is it has nothing to do with Bigfoot erotica, which makes me laugh, by the way. I'm sure Bigfoot erotica writers are excited everywhere. Sure. He says it's more of a fun pastiche of jokes and shit, like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but yes. filled with Bigfoot lore. Now, can we actually play this clip, Travis, that technically shows that Denver Riggleman knows exactly what he's talking about when it comes to Bigfoot lore.
This is really amazing. But I do want to stress just once again, this is according to Miss Cockburn. She says, now he has been exposed as a devotee of Bigfoot erotica. And then she says, this is not what we need on Capitol Hill. He's a white supremacist. How is the Bigfoot erotica? This actually makes him a little bit likable.
What anyway. It shows to me is just the failure of the fucking Democrats across the fucking board.
What is happening?
It is literally a microcosm of exactly what they do wrong every fucking time, because it just makes him more charming. Play the footage.
Let's attack him for the coolest thing he's into, Bigfoot.
You spent about an hour talking about Sasquatch, and I thought that was really weird.
You did.
That's Riggleman. Well, that is Riggleman.
Oh my gosh.
So I assume there's a Sasquatch whiskey coming.
There could be.
He's sort of a monkey.
He is sort of a monkey. Well, it depends on who you're arguing with, right? You know, there's four different major Bigfoot belief type systems. You know, you got the biological entity believers, who I call the BEs. And, no, I can't go into this.
I'm going to do this. I'm so embarrassed.
His campaign manager is like, no. Well, Talk about white supremacy.
So I did research for 10 years on Bigfoot believers because it's not that I'm. I'd love to pander to Bigfoot voters, but we're gonna talk about them right now.
You're skeptical.
I'm skeptical. Just to let everybody know, I'm skeptical. But there's almost like this religious war between Bigfoot believers. You have the BEs, and I came up with this myself. So again, the biological entity believers, I believe that Bigfoot's either descended from Gigantopithecus blackie,
which is
the big ape, or like Homo erectus, which is a man baby. So you have these differing ones, and even they hate each other because Bigfoot can attack you with infrasound like an elephant. I just want to let you know. Or psychic terror vibes, right, to make you run through the woods and crash into a tree so they can drag you into the woods and create baby Bigfoots. And then you have the people believing the mystical Bigfoot of the Quaventilur, who's protecting us from the Dracos in the 264 million year war. And they're like interdimensional long jumpers, right? They can jump in and out. You can't see them. Then you have the magic man theory, which is sort of the Native American mythology, that he can take you with his eyes and lead you into the woods and is a protector of the environment. And then you have the interstellar theory, which UFO is just like a Bigfoot hitchhiker, right? They drop him off. He's here like, hey, what's going on? And then he can beam up or down so you can't kill him. So you have all these Bigfoot belief systems. And I just found it incredible that they actually believe this. And I think that I love the fact that I'm fighting for the freedom to people, that I fought for that freedom, that you can believe in.
Oh, right. Look, he's fighting for your freedom, Mr. Zebrowski.
I know.
You can believe in any Bigfoot story or any Bigfoot beliefs that you want.
What I love is that in the YouTube comment that is at very top says, by Dream Demon, this man is more real than anyone in Congress on the left. He found something he wanted to understand and keeps his mind open to different outlooks. This is like the shifting to that collusion is good, that thing that they're trying to do now where that like the collusion is good.
Why wouldn't you want to have France?
It does not matter. It's all whatever. It's all horseshit. It's all a game that's been bought and sold a long time ago. But I mean, he does allude to the fact that what he is writing is erotica. Yes. I don't know if he's doing it because it's fun or because it's. I mean, obviously it is fun. The man has spent quite a bit of time researching Bigfoot, which is again fine.
I mean, I have to say, and you're more of the expert on the cryptids than I. I mean, he really did seem to know quite a bit.
He makes Bigfoot sound like a Mega Man boss.
He does. Well, because that's what a lot of those guys do, because they never, ever want to just believe that maybe it's a monkey or maybe it's not real. They right. love all the side lore. Wait till we do the Montauk Project, which is close, that we'll, yeah. we're working on. I mean, like, he pops in there. He's a time traveler.
Well, you know, he is so into Bigfoot or just apes in general. He runs a distillery. He's a small business owner. He runs a distillery that distributes gin, vodka, and whiskey, all three kinds of liquor. Although, no tequila, which is unfortunate, and the name of it is Silverback Distillery. He is just way into this stuff, and you do have to imagine at some point it is a it has become a fetish.
I believe that he has taken his fascination to an extreme, because he also wrote another book called Bigfoot Exterminators Incorporated, the partially cautionary, mostly true tale of Monster Hunt 2006. In this short epic, written with Don Barone, a former writer for ESPN, that I think is actually the base of Ray Barone, who was Everybody Loves Raymond, who also was a sports writer. Very, really? Very interesting. I don't know why I know all this and also know for a fact that that's weirdly connected. See, there are passages including the narrator touching Bigfoot balls with a walking stick, Denver getting an ass massage, a reference to baiting Bigfoot with menstrual blood, which is they've talked about it many times, and an assertion that Bigfoots like sex too.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, well, and then so what he said here, and when you interview people that have different belief systems, you start to see that there's even different belief systems within the Bigfoot community, which is true. And it's a little bit like politics.
It is a little bit. He has, in full disclosure, he does have a thing out here about Charlottesville. He said it's a horror, and he does not support Nazis, and he doesn't like that the white supremacists were there. So he did say that.
Oh, thank him. Thank him so much.
Yes.
I'm so glad Mr. Riggleman was against the boys with the torches.
Oh, yes. My God. He was in the military, and he says, I fought for our ideals of freedom, and to have khaki-wearing individuals spitting in the face of those ideals while parading abject ignorance through Charlottesville chills me to the bone. So he said, it's a wake-up call. So
meanwhile, he's just got to fall every night. He just imagines just practicing with a cucumber with a mitten wrapped around it, filleting Bigfoot behind a fucking dumpster somewhere where it's only his secret and his alone. I don't think Cockburn actually is not, she's not helping herself. And obviously everyone's jumping onto it. So I almost even feel bad talking about it because we fucking gave him a boost too. It's more, maybe. It's all of this same shit. Man,
he didn't bring it up. Miss Cockburn brought this up on Sunday. I don't know why. The midterms are 97 days away now. I have no idea why this is going to be the one that really destroys him. I don't know why she even brought it up. Leave the Bigfoot out of it, because now she just seems like, what are you doing? Reading it? Are you reading the erotica?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about it, Miss Cockburn?
Looking for it? You looking for it every day? Wondering how you could cock your husband, if you have one, to this Bigfoot lad?
Yes,
I don't fucking know.
The guy is the dude. This is great. This is funny for Top Hat too. This guy who's replacing this dude Tom Garrett. He almost got 60% of the vote, but he's not seeking re-election. After he reportedly asked his staff to perform tasks outside their duties, and then he cited he's now going to go have treatment for alcoholism. So that's the reason he's stepping aside. So perhaps this man, Riggleman, got him drunk off of his gin, got him drunk off of his vodka.
He's the fucking supplier,
knowing that Mr. Garrett couldn't handle it.
Interesting.
It's possible.
I like that conspiracy theory. I am just ashamed, only just because he did all the same reading that we've done. He knows exactly what's going on. And then now I'm starting to get to the point that I think is very hack, where everybody says the same, like, this is where our country's coming to. Or like, can you believe the headlines every week? It's like, no, man, it's been like this for a long time. It just was kind of secret. It was just kind of what you dealt with for a very long time. Henry Kissinger, he tried to get Operation Popeye going, where they were doing all these weather modifications over fucking Vietnam during from 1967 to 1972. And that shit's real. So, yeah, sometimes Republicans are into Bigfoot erotica because it's a thing that they do that's better than them, I guess, fingering their employees.
You know, I will say that the Republican Party, there's some Democrats that hunt out there too, but they like the woods. They like to be out. They like to be covered in random soot and things like that. They like to hide under brushes and pretend they're little bushes and trees.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It makes more sense. I mean, why not? They have an eye for adventure. They love to be armed. And why do you need to be armed? Because maybe there's a Bigfoot outside.
Honestly, Bigfoot should be met with peace. He's a wise man of the mountain. We talked about this last time.
But you think that's going to happen, man? That's why they don't show up, man. As soon as a Bigfoot or an alien shows up, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Okay. What has to happen is it's going to be uncomfortable at first, but it has to go. You see a Sasquatch, you see a wise man of the mountain come through the brush.
Mm.
I'm going to say Kissel. Obviously, I'm looking at you only because of your size.
Yes,
but also
I know.
Me as well. Honestly, I would say the best way to go is to present yourself. Just to let him sniff you.
I don't.
You get an off horse. Listen.
Oh,
and let
my
him
goodness.
Choose what he wants to do. Or it could be a female. You can tell by the tits.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
But you present yourself once in a supine position, it's trust, it will then hopefully also then present itself, which then you're going to have to smell that asshole just out of being like, it's like when you go to like some place when you're traveling and you're somewhere in Iceland and they're like, will you have the shark dick? And you're like, sure, okay. And you have to nibble on a little bit because Olga is asking you to do it and you're staying at her yurt and you don't want to get kicked out of the yurt for being impolite.
No, I mean, I couldn't even get it before you slammed that thing down your mouth the way that you love your strange foods and whatnot.
I'll do it in a fucking second, man. I had a bunch of foie gras cream on top of a duck loaf. It was this little duck loaf and a bunch of foie gras-like kind of cream that was put on top of it. Ooh, so good.
A duck loaf is what they give people in solitary confinement.
They should be so lucky.
Ugh, what did it taste like?
Wonderful duck and beautiful, delicious foie gras.
And then what is Natalie? Then Natalie looks at you doing that. And then when did she, the marriage is still on?
It's my only vice.
That is not true. You've had a little bit of Riggleman's booze as well. All right.
Not all the time, man. Yeah, look at me, man.
Bigfoot Erotica takes center stage in this Virginia race. It is very interesting.
And now you made the whole conversation about Bigfoot Erotica, and you're literally flipping his voters into thinking he's actually being inclusive.
Yes.
Like, that's what you're doing, which he technically is in a way. But come on, man. Come on, guys. Let's get our fucking shit together.
Okay, and I have to clarify. Riggleman is not a white supremacist, according to him. His running mate, Corey Stewart, was caught on camera campaigning with a white supremacist.
So you stop. Oh, my God. I will say, okay, let's get past, before I really start screaming and telling my true feelings, I really did get into a little bit of a weather modification.
Like, oh, you did?
Hole. So Operation Popeye is real. I mean, I don't know what happened. Someone sent me a website called weathermodificationhistory.com on the Twitter, which I'm trying not to look at too much, but I'm trying to also glean things for side stories, ideas.
There's
a couple of them that are just very interesting. It's just that, to me, I love the stories where the government did really wackadoo, fucked up stuff back in the 60s, and we have to act like now that there's more money and more technology than ever before, we all have to kind of sit and pretend like, oh, they don't do that stuff anymore. Where it's like, I refuse to believe. I refuse to believe it. I have a book on skunkworks I'm starting to read, which is very interesting. It's real. It's the secret plane. It is fun. That's why they did skunkworks. That's why they did it, so you'd laugh, and you would take it seriously.
No, I'm taking it very seriously. You know, it's funny. I actually had a chance to meet with, speaking of senators, one of Ted Cruz's number one people, and he was telling me NASA, to your point, never a straight answer, Henry. That is true. They're doing the Space Force. It's already all happening. It's all under covert operations. They should just come clean with it and let us know what's going on. But all that stuff is very true. I don't know about the weather mods, but...
Well, the books I'm reading right now, the Three Body Problem trilogy, they have a they postulate a very interesting idea is that once we truly broker, if there's some sort of extraterrestrial threat that's either real or manufactured by one of the various world governments in order to create one new world order, one of the ways that they can actually continue the sort of, I would say, surface level division between countries is to create different national space fleets where all of this, the fleets from different countries all kind of have their own jurisdiction, and then the rest of the planetary Earth is in a form of some gigantic, all-consuming kind of socialist slash more communist world where we are then run by a pantheon of a world government, and then they do a proxy wars between countries but in space.
That sounds exciting. I'm sure that they already are. I mean, the Space Force, they're recruiting right now, I believe. I don't know if Henry and I are allowed to be on it. I'm too big. And Henry, I'm not sure if you're, I think you got to be younger.
I think that I got to be a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think I got to be braver. I think I have to be stronger. I think I need to have been a pilot. I technically need glasses. I did acid not that long ago, so it's still in the system. Like, there was many things that would keep me from being on the Space Force. And again, if it didn't come out of his fucking mouth, I would like the Space Force a lot more. Like, I'd be way more into it.
Yes, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, when our guy says it up there, it just sounds so stupid. But in reality, Space Force. Yeah, I want a Space Force.
Yeah, yeah, Space Force.
Who doesn't?
Because they already had Project Blue Nile, where they actually went over Cuba in order to lessen the amount of rain that they got. And then Operation Popeye.
Well, how'd they do that?
They put stuff in the sky. These oxides, where they go and they basically put dry ice or like lead based oxides up in the clouds, and it's supposed to either disperse them or join them up. Which is in Operation Popeye. Apparently, they don't have official numbers because a lot of it's still classified. But they do believe that they raised the amount of rainfall over Vietnam some average of 1 to 7 inches per year in order to muddy up the supply lines by basically what they. The CIA, their tagline for the operation was "Make mud, not war."
Really? It sounds quite disgusting and in strange ways.
Well, yeah, Vietnam was very gross. Yeah. And if you watch Ken Burns' Vietnam, like I have been doing slowly over the last 3 or 4 weeks because it puts
me immediately to sleep. It's been out for like a decade, you know.
I know.
Okay.
I know. But now it's on Netflix, so I watch it in patches because I just go, I do grandfather-like sleeping when I watch it.
Ken Burns' grandfather-like shows, it's perfect to fall asleep to. I love it. He's the best. Well, why do they always do it? It's like, Skunk Toots and Popeye. It doesn't really, they're such nice names.
Shouldn't it be called Operation Kahlua Mudslide?
That's perfect.
Well, if Sammy Hagar worked for the CIA, then it would be.
And we don't know that he doesn't.
This is Operation Cabo Wabo 9. Quit plugging your tequila, Sammy.
God, I love all of the old rock stars that just got into the bad food, bad booze biz.
That's what
Jimmy Buffett's legit, like one of the best restaurants in Florida.
Have you actually ever been to a Margaritaville?
Yeah, I went to one in Hollywood, Florida. Don't confuse it with Hollywood, California. No. There's real acting options in Florida. And it was one of the better experiences I've ever had, man, because everyone's singing, everyone's having fun, everyone's kind of kicking. And you got that Jimmy Buffett. Like, Jimmy Buffett's spirit is there, man. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I actually wonder, because I would try it, because it's in a couple of airports we've been through.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'd wonder what the quality will be. If you go to an airport, Margaritaville, because you don't really get to hear the sounds of the ocean, it's just piped in.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't be wearing, you got to wear like a swimsuit. You got to have sand on your feet, man. You got to feel like a wealthy 50-year-old going through a divorce. You have to feel like you got nothing to lose.
How disgusting would it be if they put it in a bunch of fake sand at the airport?
I've seen some people's feet on those planes, and I think they might have stepped in some sand.
There is a very real contingency of people in Brooklyn that have adopted this sort of like vacation aesthetic, like a Margaritaville ironic kind of thing.
Oh, dude, that's what happens.
Is that coming around the bend
it's
now?
It's coming around the bend, and it led me to, I walked through Bushwick, and I saw the two worst words ever combined.
Uh-oh.
Urban tiki.
Oh, yeah, buddy. They're really trying to take, because that's like, it's obviously it's very LA because it's warm here, but they are trying to take that because Hawaiian shirts are everywhere now. Mm-hmm. That's what people wear. Everybody's dressing like what's his name from Jurassic Park, Nedry.
The one who gets beaten or spit on by that one thing and then it resolves.
Newman. You know what I will say? Cultural appropriation, because it is the fat man's wear.
Don't want anyone else to be able to wear it.
That is what Hawaiian shirts are for. It's to show that I am relaxed enough to wear this big baggy shirt on vacation. Right. It is supposed to hide my rolls. You're going to come in here? It's like Jim Carrey taking Dr. Robotnik. It's the same thing where it's just like, oh, you're taking our rolls? They're taking, taking my fat rolls? I had to take my own fat rolls. Now you're going to take my acting rolls?
Yeah, I'm wondering, is being overweight, being a little chunky, which is totally fine, no big deal.
It's wonderful.
Is that a culture, though? I don't think that that's a culture. I think that's like a lifestyle.
It's the people who took it from my former people. Because I can't even include myself into the fat man world anymore. Because technically, I'm becoming a medium.
Well, your personal trainer is not done with you quite yet. I think you can still wear it. And then right after the wedding, you're going to balloon out. So don't even stress it. No.
I have to keep it in some modicum, or I'm just going to be wearing Spanx.
Ooh.
Spanx.
I don't know about all that. They don't make them in my size.
They do. They make them in long.
I'm like triple extra long. Anyway.
I feel like you would be able to get, I mean, I'm certain they have stuff like the boa constrictor model, where it's like fucking 5 feet of fucking
the John
spandex
fit.
Yes. Oh, that would be nice. The anaconda pant. That would be perfect. Well, are there any other stories here? I mean, they got water on Mars. We didn't really touch on that. There's 12 feet of water, apparently.
It's 12 miles.
Miles,
but they don't
yes,
know if it's going to help in terraforming or not because everything's a fight.
Right. So it's a little bit wet up there.
Yeah, it's just that then half the people in the world are like, no, we get to go to Mars, and that's going to be incredible. And there's the other half of people being like, there's no way we're going to go to Mars, stupid. It'll never help with the... And so it's just like another way for people to
fight. That's perfect.
Yeah.
It's nice that we can't even get along when it comes to space exploration. The thing that should be uniting all of us all the time, because I would love to do it. Although, once again, they're not going to invite us. But that's okay.
We could go on a private space trip.
Maybe. I'm not going with Elon Musk. I don't want to do it.
You're fine. You're not a 90-pound woman. He won't come looking for you who's shaped like a cigarette filter.
All right.
We did just get invited to go skydiving in Boston, though.
No, I was not invited to go skydiving.
Well,
in
we're all invited.
No, you, Marcus, and Henry were invited. He looked at me and uninvited me.
No, he said that you can sit next to the pilot.
That's even better.
You don't have to jump.
That's fine. It's not skydiving.
That's better because you don't have to jump out of the plane.
No, but then it's not skydiving. If I'm just on a plane and I'm going to watch you guys.
I don't want to jump out of the plane. He was concerned for your safety because it's not your fault.
No,
you just are different body type.
It was slightly like where he looked at me like, hey, you guys should come skydive. And then he said, not to you. He said, not you, Ben.
Because
you're a monster.
We're just smaller. It's your safety.
It's sad.
I am going.
I will never go. And also, you took a helicopter ride this past weekend.
It's
amazing you're still alive and never do that again.
You're small enough for a helicopter ride. You could fit in a little basket.
Everything is regulated in New York City. You can't even have a little lemonade stand. But for some reason, the helicopter rides, it's all fair game. You can do whatever you want. I could just buy a helicopter and be like, free rides.
It was a tour. The guy was like, to your left, there's a Statue of Liberty. To your right, there's Ellis Island. And right over there is where Buddy Velastro filmed Cake Boss.
Hell yeah, that's all that matters in New York.
Well, isn't that a landmark on par with the Statue of Liberty?
What I will say, I do think that it's important for our skies to remain unregulated.
Thank you, Henry Zebrowski. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. I think we love you. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, you can find us on social media. Ben Kissel, Ben Kissel One, Henry Loves You, Dr. Fantasty.
Yeah. You find us on that fucking bullshit. I did take the Twitter off my phone, so I'm not even looking at it, but it is nice to be freed from the yoke of looking at it all the time.
I mean, honestly, I like the Insta story because you can talk and then people can hear you, and that's kind of fun.
I like seeing their faces, yeah.
Yes. And, I guess that's basically it. Thanks for giving to the Patreon, everyone. That's always very nice of you to do that. If you want to go do that, you can find us patreon.com. I believe it's /lastpodcast on the left. We'll talk to you soon. Hail yourself.
Hail Satan. And if you're going to live, then why aren't you laughing? And if you're not laughing, you better be loving. Consensually.
It's actually very nice.
Thank you.